Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Ambassador Prudence Bushnell, Dean, Leadership and Management School at the Foreign Service Institute. Joining us in our conversation is Kim Hinsman.
Ambassador, how does the Leadership and Management School measure the success and impact of its programs?
I think that's a difficult challenge for anyone engaged in influencing human behavior because there are so many other factors involved. We always have evaluations immediately after our training events. We often do impact evaluations a few months later, but this is self-reporting. It's wonderful to get kudos, and it's wonderful to hear people say, yes, I'm an even better employee than I used to be. Is that true? We start looking at anecdotal evidence to see whether the culture is changing. The culture of leadership in the Department of State is something that we are promoting. So it is more than simply people's reactions to the training. It is what happens on the job, because that's where it's important. It's great that we deliver a good product, and we do. What I'm interested in is what is happening at work. Are people changing the way they behave toward one another? Are they becoming more effective? Are they creating teams? Are they leading better? I think that we are seeing some changes, as indicated through conversations we have with our Inspector General, with the people who serve on promotion boards. And I think that obviously, as in any change effort, we have a very long ways to go.
Do you think the model of the Leadership and Management School should be emulated by other organizations, both in the private and public sectors?
I think it depends very much on their population and what they are trying to do. Our training is exceedingly pragmatic. We take people for a very short period of time. We have very focused training that is immediately applicable to their work. We just don't have the numbers of people or the time to spend a great deal of hours on concept. We also have a very smart population, so they get it. So our focus is not just on talking about the importance of listening. That's sort of a no-brainer. But okay, now you go through the practice of listening. Very practical. That works for us. I think each organization needs to decide for itself what is going to work for its own population.
My observation is people perceptions of foreign policy and the role in the U.S. and in global conflicts change over time. Looking back on your career, I'm struck by the fact that 10 years ago, many people dismissed your efforts to keep America's attention focused on the conflict in Rwanda, and today you're being honored for these same efforts. What changed?
One of the lessons I find, because, you know, I have asked myself the same thing, you never know what you do that is going to make a difference in hindsight. So the what I tell a lot of people is, if you're in a position of leadership, just do the right thing, because A, you'll be able to face yourself in the mirror later on, and who knows, since you don't have any choice as to how you will be judged. Do it, and you might be judged properly. I tried to do the right thing on Rwanda. What happened was, as people looked back, as historians looked back at this extraordinary genocide, as political leaders such as Bill Clinton look back on it, they saw that a lack of engagement helped to facilitate people who wanted to murder their fellow citizens. And that made us think twice. And I think if you look at our response to Sudan and our response to Rwanda, you will find a great difference.
It will probably seem obvious to historians what should have been done, but how hard was it to do the right thing when nobody else seemed to be going along?
Well, actually, I have to tell you that for all of the efforts, and it wasn't just me, there were a number of us who were exploring ways to stop the killing within the parameters of our policy, we were not successful. We tried to be very, very creative in what we did because the policy was that we would not provide people or resources to stop the killing. So we were using the press. I was telephoning senior people in the Rwandan government. How much that did, I don't know. I don't think it did a whole lot. But the lesson for me is that you do what you can do. There's just so much we cannot control, but we can control our own behavior. And even if somebody else isn't doing what we think is the right thing, we can do the right thing.
How do you envision the profession of diplomacy changing 5 or 10 years from now?
I think it's going to continue to change as dramatically as it has changed in the past 5 years. We have gone from a profession that essentially looked at very narrow issues between governments to a profession that deals with an array of complicated subjects, from fighting HIV/AIDS and poverty and promoting democracy to looking at terrorist financing and helping United States business create new markets, with constituencies that become ever more interested and involved in what we do. So now we are not just interacting with governments. We're interacting with non-governmental communities. We are interacting with business communities, with faith-based communities. Our jobs become far more complicated. The issues become far more complicated. And the numbers of players become far more numerous, which takes me back to where we began. This is why the skills of diplomacy become important, but so do the skills of leadership, because really every diplomat now has leadership behaviors which will serve him or her well.
You've had a long career dedicated to public service, so I'd like to ask you to be reflective in this last question. What advice would you give for a young person considering a career in public service, say in general, and international field specifically?
I would like to see a resurgence among young people in public service. I think I mentioned earlier that the quality of a society and of a government, to me, is directly related to the quality of public servants. Having served in developing countries, I have seen what happens when you do not have, when you cannot depend on a good civil service group. So I would encourage people to join the public service. I looked up the website, usajobs.opm.gov is the website for federal employment, and for international employment in the Department of State, it's usstate.gov. Go on the website and you will find an array of adventuresome careers awaiting you.
Well, thank you very much, Ambassador, for squeezing us in your very busy schedule. Kim and I appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Ambassador Prudence Bushnell, Dean, Leadership and Management School at the Foreign Service Institute. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness, and you can also get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.